Welcome to Meant to Win, a podcast for founders, visionaries, and leaders who are deeply aware that their life and work are meant to create a bigger impact. We're diving into real strategy, conscious leadership, and the internal identity work that allows you to create massive success. I'm your host, Dr. Stephanie Wigner, an author, speaker, and eight-figure entrepreneur who loves to take business strategy and combine it with the inner identity work that truly unlocks the next level for you. If you know you have a big calling for your life and your work is meant to help more people, then you're in the right place. Welcome back, you beautiful people. I am so excited. As you can see, I am not in my studio at HQ. I am in a different studio, and I'm so pumped because today I have a very special guest joining me, Dr. Danielle Roach. If you don't know her, you're about to find out about her. And she is truthfully the best human, the best mom, the best business owner. And I have got to see her truly, truly transform over the last couple of years when our world first collided together. And we are actually in LA recording this together. And so I'm so pumped because I actually asked her, she was the first client I ever asked to be on my podcast. And our schedules never lined up. We had it scheduled and then one of us had to reschedule it. And so that's back in the day when I first started the podcast, when I would do it over Zoom. And we were just chatting before we started recording because I'm like, this is why it never worked out, is because we were meant to be in person together. We were meant to have the video with it. We were meant to have these conversations. We both are very different people than we were when we first started working together. And we get to chat a little bit about what that has looked like. So thank you for joining me.
Thank you for having me. This is amazing. It's like a little hometown podcast.
I know. It's like I could have drove to you and done it, but that was going to be a little terrible in LA traffic. And then now we get to have dinner afterwards. So it's even better.
It's amazing.
So let's tell the listeners just a little bit about, I usually am like, okay, let's talk about the beginning of the entrepreneurial journey. I don't really want to talk about that anymore. I think everybody has a reason they open a business, but you decided to really scale and grow. So take us back to when you were already having your practice, you were doing like 25, 30K a month. And what happened and what was the transition to now where you have three practices, you're managing that, you have an online company, you have a podcast, you've added a child since then. Like what all has transpired since then?
Yeah. I mean, you have your sayings. One of mine is why do when you can overdo. So when you met me, I was definitely into business. I was stepping into this new identity of what it meant to be an entrepreneur, but I was still this like little baby in terms of what my mindset thought was possible. And then the more we worked together, the more it was like, man, like this bitch is saying that I can be anything that I want to be. And like, I see her doing it. So if she can do it, then I can do it. And it just, I mean, you remember, I was manifesting one thing after another. It's like, I'm going to do this. And you're like, okay. And then I did it. And you're like, okay. I was like, I'm going to hit 85 by 85. You're like, Danielle, if we just hit 47,000 a month for the next 12 months, you will have doubled your revenue. And that's really good. And I was like, yeah, but I want to do 85 by 85. And
then it's like, once you saw what was possible, there is no stopping you, truly.
1000%. And I think that I got a little bit caught up in that, to be honest. There was definitely a period of time where it was like, I am a little bit invincible, you know, because like things are going in my way. And literally everything I put in my journal came into being. And we got our clinic up to really quickly. We went from, I think, 25K one summer to 100K the following summer. So we 4X'd in a year. We had two associates. Before that, it was just me. We had two team admin members. And we're like, okay, it's probably time to open a second location. My husband and I, Kyle, as you know, my Kyle, your Kyle. but my Kyle was like, let's do it. You know, he was still working his corporate job, his 9 to 5. And so we found another location. It just, everything kind of fell into place. We found the doctor and we found, you know, all the things. And it was like, man, this is feeling really easy. It's really just, there's so much flow to it. And I love the build. Like I'm a generator. I'm a type 3 Enneagram. Like I want to build. That's when the magic happens for me. And so I got that high of opening the second office. And then I was taking my son to go get his teeth cleaned. He was, I think, like 1.5 at the time. And we go into this shopping center in Costa Mesa. If you don't know California, it's near Newport Beach. It's like a very nice, bougie, upscale place. So we go to this pediatric dentist and I walk and I'm like, holy shit, there's a Coffee Dose. Like, I know Coffee Dose. That's an Instagram type of place. You know, people go and there's like moms everywhere and they've got these baby carriers and they've got these strollers. And I'm like, holy shit, we have a pediatric prenatal office. Like, I'm starting to, you know, get the wheels turning. I go upstairs and I walk past a new mom school, which is like a very well-known business in our area who serves moms and babies. And I'm like, oh, And then I walk into this pediatric dentist, and
it's you're just like, "There's too many signs."
The bougiest, yeah. And then he's just like this fabulous dentist who's our age, and he's like, "Oh my god, you have to open up in here." And so we called I called Kyle, and I was like, "You need to call the real estate broker and see if they have a space available." And he's like, "Oh yeah, what I didn't tell you is that I've been calling around looking in Costa Mesa, and actually they do have a space available, and we can see it, and we signed the lease the next day."
Oh my gosh.
Mm-hmm. So I think we just got caught up in that whirlwind, and it everything was working really well, and we opened that second clinic. We hit 50K our first month. We opened that third clinic, and like it was starting to get harder to find doctors. And we were starting to, I think, hit kind of that upper limit for how fast we were growing and scaling. And you even told me at one point, like, maybe don't open the third one so soon. So that all happened at the same time that we were undergoing IVF because we've had infertility challenges. And I luckily got pregnant the first time. So we opened two offices and got pregnant all within like 3 months of each other.
Insanity.
Like true psychopaths. And yeah, so since then I have three practices. I've got, you know, my second child. I have two babies who are under four. And recently, so last summer, Kyle and I decided that it was time to get him the fuck out of corporate. Mm-hmm. And so we opened our marketing company now for clinic owners. And we've been running that since late summer, fall, and we've gotten that kind of booming and going, and we're just constantly looking for ways to shift things and make them more aligned with our life. But yeah, it's been a wild ride for sure.
It's been a wild ride, and just getting a front row seat, you know, and just a lot of our conversations behind the scenes. There's not many people that try to build in the way that we try to. Mm-hmm. And so there's not a lot of people when you're growing that quickly, or when you're diversifying your income like that, when you're facing challenges, you have young children, things like that. There's not a lot of people who have walked that path or are walking that path at the same time as you. And so I think that's why we always really connected to. It's like, oh my gosh, this is not easy. This sucks. This is hard. And, you know, I know we've chatted about this a lot of times too, but when we really had that third clinic that was its own operating clinic. Circle of Life had two locations, so it was really our fourth. But when that third one is what broke us. And I know when you were going through that, I just had so much like empathy for you, because I know how bad it sucks. And, you know, now even though we have five clinics, I've changed my tune a little bit, even to be like, hey, I probably would have stopped it too, because your profit's still really great. You have a control, you have a handle on things, like things just start escalating. And it's not even that you can't handle, it's the amount of problems that you face on a daily basis because of the amount of employees you have.
Yep.
The employees are what create the liabilities.
Yes.
Essentially, you know, and I know you've really dealt with that. And so I think, what would you say to somebody that maybe has one clinic and is thinking about opening a second one, just from your experience of what you went through, like, what would you share with them?
Yeah, that's such a good question. And we have clients who are kind of navigating this question right now. So I think it really depends on the person. So mm-hmm. I think you really have to go internally and ask yourself, why do you want to open another clinic? First of all, because I think for a lot of us, and we've talked about this before, I think there's a lot of ego that comes along with it.
Totally.
You know, like, well, that just seems like the next logical move. And if I was successful with one, then I'm clearly going to be more successful if I have two. And, you know, so I think first it's asking why, you know, and if you do truly want that greater impact, if you love leading people, if you know, team is your jam, then like, yeah, okay, let's talk about the logistics. Have you fully maxed out your first clinic? Mm-hmm. And most people, I think the answer is no, even though we think it's yes. Mm-hmm. And I think that for us, we were so focused on chiropractic. And I'm not saying that you should diversify too early, but I think, you know, like, let's look at our one service. If you are just doing chiropractic, or you're just doing one service, and you haven't fully maxed that out in terms of like the full capacity. I'm not talking like, I think I'm full. I'm talking fucking we're on a wait list, mm-hmm. and like we cannot possibly get any more people or doctors in to fulfill the service. Mm-hmm. Cool. Is there another vertical that we can explore within this practice to like fully optimize the space that we have, the revenue that we could generate with one? Because having one location, one team under one roof is so much easier than having the two heartbeats in two different places.
Totally.
And again, if you've answered yes to both those questions, I'm doing it for the right reason. I love managing team. I have time. I'm not in the practice myself, because don't get it twisted. Like, you will not be able to be a full-time practitioner and the CEO of multiple locations.
Yep.
It doesn't work. It will work, but it will be fucking hard. You will not have any time for your family or for your life or for your fun. And you're not going to do a great job in either. Mm-hmm. So I think like all of those factors kind of have to be set? And if so, okay, cool. Let's talk about opening a second location, but let's maybe do it a little bit closer to your first one than you might think that you should, right? Because again, we're going to have to go to both these locations. We're going to have to keep both teams motivated. We're going to have to figure out how to not just keep the culture, but keep performance high. You know, there's a lot of moving parts. So I think that it is doable. I think two is much easier than three. I mean, I only had two for a couple months, but no, I think that there are just a lot of questions and like internal reflection that needs to happen before somebody goes from one to two. And just because you have the profitability and just because you have the money to open two does not mean an immediate yes from me in support of opening two.
Yeah, I would agree with that fully. And especially the part about being the practitioner, if you're going to turn into the CEO, you have to make sure that your first income stream is not dependent. I say that all the time. Even if you're diversifying online, right? Even if you're like, hey, I'm absolutely crushing this brick and mortar space, profit margins are great. I am feeling that itch because if you're a crazy visionary, you're always going to feel that itch to start something new. You know, we were just talking about one of your new ideas before we started recording. And you're always going to have that itch. And I don't think that we should suppress that feeling. I think for the people that have that calling, they should absolutely pursue it, but only after they've completely removed themselves from the first business and can just keep a pulse, can have like a weekly checkpoint so that all of their time and energy could go to building the second one. And I know when we started to diversify our clinics, even that was what we had. We had Kyle completely removed when he went to open a second Source Wellness Center. And it really helped because guess what? You run into so many issues. All of a sudden you're the treating doctor in the second one. All of a sudden you're replacing an office manager. So you're in there and it's like, you don't anticipate these things because you're like, oh, I have money to solve these problems. You can still have a shortage of employees, even if you have money to pay people, yep. You know? And I don't think people think that. I don't think they realize all of the open loops they create by starting a second income stream. And again, even online, your time and energy is going to go towards that. And you even experienced that when you diversified from the three clinics to starting something online, it was like a whole new beast because you were like, wait, my time and energy is going to here. And now I didn't realize how much the three clinics were going to need me.
Yeah, the team felt completely neglected. Mm-hmm. And I think that it's so true. I think you hire your first team for that clinic. You're like, okay, cool, we're solid. But truly, the turnover happens more when you have multiple clinics. Yes. Because you can't pour into people the same way as when you're in the office with them every day. You know, and even in the mastermind, you know, our expanders group, I talked to some of the other docs and they're like, yeah, and we have this team meeting every week and the energy is, I don't have that reality, mm-hmm. nor do I want that reality, mm-hmm. right? These people like live, breathe and die chiropractic and want to be in their office all the time with their team. Like, mm-hmm. that's honestly not the case for me. I love my team, but I also don't want to spend every day with them. I don't want to be in it. So it's like, you're just solving for different problems. And I think people don't see that because they just have the one experience, the lived mm-hmm. experience of being the leader in a physical space, in their brick and mortar with their team. But once you remove yourself, that magic kind of dwindles a little yeah. bit. Yeah. So you have to figure out, honestly, I think it forces you to be a much better leader because mm-hmm. you can't fall back on just being the like rah-rah.
Your charisma.
Friend.
Yes.
Exactly.
Yes. And I think I even see that, you know, with my associates, one has since transitioned out and the one that's in there, it's like, I just had so much time with her, right? Where the new one, I don't. And now the new one we're bringing on, I'm not going to have any time with her because I'm not in the clinic at all anymore. But I did a post about this recently too, because even being in person and having HQ with the online team, it's so much fun because I'm like, now I get to pour into them. There is something different that happens in person
yep.
when you're working alongside somebody every single day. You're building together. You're getting your butt kicked together. You're innovating together. There's just this feeling of camaraderie. And so we talk about that a lot in expanders where it's like, okay, somebody has to be there and be that culture person for the office. So people have that person they could go to. If that is not going to be you, because you're removed, it has to be somebody in place. And I know you've really been looking for that person for your teams too. Let's transition a little bit about, I just love how much you go all in on the things that you want. And so I want to chat even just about becoming a mom a second time and that sort of thing. We were chatting before about how it's kind of really hard to be a mom in our profession because
it feels like there's so much judgment. You have to home birth, you have to breastfeed, you have to raise holistic kids. They can't ever be sick. Don't you dare offer them a screen. By all means, everything has to be organic. You better conscious parent, you better gentle parent, you better, like, there's this checklist and these rules, and you're a good Cairo mama if you do these things. And if you don't, oh my God, you should have got adjusted more. You should have tried just a little bit harder. You should have done these things. And I know you and I have had a lot of, unfiltered conversations about that, and just how, you know, we don't fit the norm of, like, this Cairo mom. I absolutely love my son and I'm so present with him, and I do feed him 90% of the time organic. But also I'm a working mom and I have very big passions and goals, and I don't really have a desire to be at home 3 to 4 days a week and only work 1 or 2 days a week. That would feel really incongruent for me. I think that I would be bored. I think that I would be suppressing the gifts that I have to share with the world. And so what have you found, and, like, how have you navigated that, maybe feeling like you're a little bit different than what we've been exposed to?
Gosh, this is such an interesting topic because, you know, Kyle, when my husband and I started the Expanded Collective, which is our marketing company, he was going on social and he's like, it'd be so funny if we posted this. And I'm like, I would get, like, this internal cringe, like, oh, don't put that out there because people are going to know that we do X, Y, or Z, right? Mm-hmm. Like, that we're at a restaurant and our kid is looking at a screen because God forbid we have 10 minutes to fucking talk about adult things.
Yeah.
You know? And it's like, but it really is this weird thing in chiropractic. And, you know, when we navigated IVF, this came up for me because it's like, I really feel like I did all the things, and people were like, well, did you get adjusted enough? Mm-hmm. Did you, you know, did you try all the supplements? Did you pray hard enough? And mm-hmm. I'm like, Jesus Christ, you guys, like, mm-hmm. yes, I tried all the fucking things. Do you think that I haven't done that? And, like, yeah, no, we needed IVF and that's fine. And so I felt really called to, like, kind of go against that grain.
Well, I loved when you were going through IVF and you were like, I want to share it. And I'm like, please do. Like, because there's so many women in our profession that don't feel seen or heard because they do have to navigate that. And they feel, like, shame or guilt
yes.
that that's their option, you know?
I did.
Mm-hmm.
I did. And we put it off. I mean, I'm a very, like you alluded to earlier, I'm a very impulsive person. And so when I want something, I want it yesterday. And so I'm going to go after it with everything that I have. Mm-hmm. And if that resource has to be something that's slightly out of alignment for my values, again, I'm going to go and ask why.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And does the end result matter to me more than maybe being out of alignment for a period of time? Fuck mm-hmm. yeah, it did.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And so I think being willing to share that and have these conversations where we show women in our profession that there is a different way is really important. But what was your question initially? How do I navigate this?
Yeah. Like, how did you navigate it? And do you feel that? I guess I don't want to speak for you.
Yeah.
feel that pressure that I have to be this perfect mom
1,000%.
Or this mom only in a certain way. Like, you know, I remember when I first started traveling for work and Jethro was like 9 or 12 months and I had my pump along with me and I was pumping in airports and I was pumping at the business mastermind and all of that. It's like, I was so proud of myself for doing both, but I felt like a bad mom if I actually posted on Instagram that I wasn't with my baby.
Yeah.
And I wasn't worried about, honestly, other people's judgment as much as I was the Cairo moms, because it was like, how long are you away from your baby? What do you mean?
I could never do that.
Yeah. I could never do that. That's good for you. But yeah. I just could never.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, I co-sleep too. And he's co-sleeping with my husband and he's, you know, it's like, I almost felt like I had to justify myself
yes.
in that season. And even as he gets older and it's like, you know, we want another baby and I'm not committed to the timeline. I'm really loving this season of life that I'm in. And yeah, work is really important right now. Not more important, but it's also really important that I don't feel like I want to step into that timeline right now. And so I know that for me, as I've been navigating this, and of course, don't even get started on my birth, in our profession, I shared a post recently of how it was like an awakening for me because I realized like how judgmental I had been prior to being in a situation that I didn't have control over and yeah. where a medical intervention was the only option, you know? And I'm so grateful for that experience because I think it humbled the fuck out of me. And I also think it awakened me to my life purpose. I wouldn't be here coaching others on identity and mindset and the inner work if not. And I also think and remember one of the first things crossed my mind is like, oh, I'm going to be outcasted from the chiropractic profession, you know? And it's like, how crazy is that? And we both work with chiropractors. We both love chiropractic. We both have that. And it's like, I just wonder if there's other moms in our scenarios that are having those internal feelings, you know, maybe they'll DM us afterwards.
Yeah, probably. They're like, I feel so seen. No, we joke that when I have a baby, I also open a new business. Like I can't do one without the other. There's something about having my kids that has ignited that
a purpose.
It's a purpose, right? And I, before having my son, it was like, well, am I, you kind of, you take on other people's identity, right? Because you haven't developed yours yet. So I was a chiropractic woman who was not, I didn't have children yet. And so I'm looking at everyone around me and I'm like, okay, well, you work a couple days a week and you seem to like that. And you're homeschooling your kid and you do all these things. I'm like, okay, is that going to be my life? Kyle makes good money. Like, I could probably do that. I don't know that I would have to work. Maybe I'll be a stay-at-home mom. And I had my son and 9 weeks later, I was like, I'm going to double the size of my clinic. I'm going to go get a new space. I'm going to, you know, like mm-hmm. I come back with like a vengeance and then I do look around me and those, cause when you're in it, you're in that vortex, you're like, fuck everyone else, you know? And then you kind of look up and you're like, oh wait, what's going to happen here? And who is going to judge me? And mm-hmm. yeah, with Raya, my daughter, we had I wouldn't even call it a redemptive birth. My son came 4 weeks early. We had to go to the hospital. We were going to go to the hospital, but the birthing center, but now we were too early. So we had to go to L&D. I get to L&D, it's been 24 hours, my labor stalls, and I'm like, oof, I know what happens, right? You have mm-hmm.
You know, yeah.
Right, and I'm like, but also, I'm impulsive, so I'm like, give me the fucking Pitocin, I can handle it. And, you know, we went down this, we didn't have the full cascade, and I'm so sorry that you had that experience, but, and we've seen so many women go through it, and mm-hmm. you're right, though, in that moment, I'm like, yeah, I would have judged anyone who told me that they chose Pitocin and chose to be induced, but I needed that, right? Mm-hmm. I was going to go crazy because I hadn't slept and all the things, and it does just allow you to shift into somebody else's perspective. And I came out of that birth, I'm like, cool, well, I called the shots, I feel empowered, but like, home birth is next. And we had home birth with my daughter, Raya, and I'm so grateful that I got to experience that, but it was terrifying and so fast. And she had shoulder dystocia, and it was an emergency situation for about 5 minutes, and it was the scariest 5 minutes of my life. And so coming out of that, you know, I was so grateful that she was a good nurser. My son had horrible lip and tongue tie. He couldn't nurse. We had nipple shields, all the things, right? Like just comparing your children when you've had two, it's like you have something to compare it to. And so now I have this beautiful baby. She's nursing well. She's big. She's robust. She's like, awesome. I had that home birth. And even though it was really scary and traumatic, and I haven't quite worked through that yet. Like, you know, I had this triumph and then my supply dropped at 6 months. And I look back and I'm like, oh no, people are going to see that I'm having to use more formula. And oh no, they're going to know it's because I chose to work instead of nurse her when she was having a hard time and she wanted to nurse for an hour and a half. Mm-hmm. I had to go do shit. You know, mm-hmm. I couldn't be sitting there nursing a baby for an hour and a half. And so then I started to play that judgment. And you're right. It's not my judgment. It's not of me.
It's not your voice.
My child is still healthy. She's walking at 10 months. She's climbing up shit. She literally can climb up the tower in the kitchen and get on the counter at 10 months old. She, yeah. She's fine.
Yeah.
She's fine. But you internalize these things. And, you know, I feel like I'm kind of going off on a tangent here, but I'll end with this. I do think that there is so much that we compare ourselves against. But when you are inspired to create something in your life for your family, you are creating not just the legacy for them, not just the, you know, familial, like generational wealth, but you're creating the example of what's possible, mm-hmm. right? And for, you know, for the family who chooses homeschool, for the mother who chooses to be at home with her children, like, I am so happy that you have the freedom and the choice and the possibility to do that. And that's why we help practitioners, because mm-hmm. I want them to have choice.
Yes, the option.
Right? And I'm not judging you. Do I want that? Absolutely not. I would go fucking crazy if I spent every day, all day with my children. I love mm-hmm. them to death, but I love having something that I'm creating. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's the point, right? Is to create a space where everybody can follow whatever their path is. And it's going to be different for people. And that's why I fell in love with you, because mm-hmm. you were the closest thing I could see to the type of future I wanted for myself, to the type of life I wanted to build for my family, mm-hmm. where every moment we had together was intentional, was joyful, was, you know, right now we're 3 and a half. So like maybe not always joyful, but like it's intentional mm-hmm. and it's on purpose. And you know, so I think if we can empower each other, but yeah, chiropractic for moms, like if you choose to do things a little different than your crunchy neighbor, your granola friend, like yeah. it can be
intense for yeah. sure. And I think it's so crazy. I think just in general, even outside of chiropractic, I was talking with my mom the other day and we were chatting about my childhood, and by no means, I was so loved, but it was not a normal childhood. There was a lot of addiction and trauma in my mom's life. And so until she got her shit together, you know, my childhood wasn't a white picket family dream. But I was thinking, and I'm like, my grandfather put me on the bus, got me off the bus. He was like my main caretaker for me and my sister. I don't think he paid two seconds of attention to me. He was like, okay, TV's on. You want a snack? And it would be like ice cream. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I'm like, and look at me, look at what I have accomplished. Like, I just have to sometimes like get out of this vortex and this bubble of judgment. And it's not just chiropractic. It's moms online. It's everything. And I think the conversation is switching a little bit because it's so hard to be a mom, whether you choose to stay home, whether you choose to build a business, whether you choose to be in corporate and, you know, try and grow up the ladder, whatever you choose, it's so hard to do both. And I think we need more conversations around how hard it is and just way less judgment of each other. And I think we, in 2026, just put so much freaking pressure on ourselves to be perfect. I know I do. It's like half the time it's not my voice. And then other times I'm like, oh, am I being nice to myself about what kind of mom I'm being in my head, you know? And really, it's like, I asked, you know, Jet all the time, I'm like, what do you love to do together, buddy? And when we were at the Expanders and we were going around and he was hopping a table, he like told everybody that he loves cuddling. And I'm like, that is my fondest memory with my mom as a child, like just snuggling up with her on the couch. And I think it's like, can we just lessen the load, the mental load that we have on ourselves in this day and age?
Yeah. Do our children feel loved?
Yeah.
Do they feel connected to us? That's all that matters.
That's all that matters. As you're looking at expanding, just like your vision, right? Mm-hmm. It's not necessarily expanding businesses. It's like recalibrating a little bit. As you're looking at expanding your vision, what are the next things that you want to call in?
Yeah, I think that we have created so much growth. And you're right, this is a season of recalibration. So right now we have a lot of things happening. We have a lot of revenue that's being generated. We also have a lot of responsibility. We have a lot of overhead. We have less freedom than we had before, mm-hmm. right? And that's one thing, you know, a little callback to earlier. Like, think about your profitability, because it's probably going to be the same at two or three in the first couple years yep. as it is with one with a fuck ton more responsibility. So we're in this season of a lot right now. We have mm-hmm. a lot of moving parts, a lot of things happening all at once. And so I think we're kind of looking forward at what do we want the next chapter to feel like? What are we calling more of into our life? And I think that we're, you know, we kind of lost the freedom. We lost the, mm-hmm. The structure that we hoped for. We created really good structure. We are disciplined, like nobody else. I mean, like a lot of other people, but a lot of successful people, right? Yeah. We have a very strict morning routine. We're up at 4 every day. We're in bed before 8 p.m. and usually asleep by 8 p.m. Yep. And, you know, so we've created the system that works to grow our companies. But now we've kind of lost the fun. We've lost the travel.
That's what I was going to say, the fun.
Yeah. We've lost the fun. And, you know, every weekend, computers go away. We're present with our kids. We do a lot of swimming. You're like, you live how far from the beach and you don't go. And you know, it's true. Like we're very focused right now. People are like, what do you do for fun? I'm like, what is that? Mm-hmm. You know, we work a lot and we work pretty much from sun up, not even before sun. So 4 a.m. until our kids get up. And then we work until our kids' childcare is over, which is around 4:30. And then we get our asses to bed. And then we wake up the next day, we do it again. And then on the weekend we're hanging out. But like, can we build maybe some golf in during the week for mm-hmm. Kyle? Can I go join a pickleball club and make, mm-hmm. you know, make some local girlfriends? Imagine that. Like,
what a novel concept.
So I think it's trying to continue bringing more revenue, more growth, because that will never stop, right? Mm-hmm. That is just a part of who I am. It's built into my DNA. And can I create more ease? Can I create more fulfillment and joy? Because I think that everything that we have navigated and will continue to navigate is a season. I don't really mm-hmm. believe in any balance ever. It's been a push season. And I don't think that that's going to end for us actually very soon. But I think, you know, as we kind of get into the second half of the year, we'd like to start bringing in a little bit more of that joy and then maybe have a season of of peace for like a month before we launch the next business. Yeah. I'm already looking at the next business, the to next be honest thing. With you. But
no, I know. You told me and I just gave you a smile.
Listen, that one is like, that's been...
No, but I said like, when you're in it, and me too, I'm already dreaming about the next thing. You know what I mean? Because I'm like, I have to have something.
Yeah.
I have so much responsibility and pressure in my everyday life. If I don't get to go off into the clouds and dream about the next thing for a little bit, like it might actually consume me. So let me just go and dream and think about that. And, you know, I think it is fun for us when you're a visionary to be able to dream.
Do you ever have those moments where you look around and you're like, why the fuck am I doing this?
Oh yeah. More recently.
I think that that's something that people don't tell you mm-hmm. as you're coming up mm-hmm. is like, you're going to have those moments of no, but why? Like, shouldn't I just go back to the version before?
That felt much easier.
That was easier.
Mm-hmm. And simpler.
Yep.
Because it does start to get complicated. And that's why I always say too, it's so easy to quit when you're not connected to the purpose of your life. And then also, I mean, I was crying on a call this week with my media team because we're talking about a really big project that we're working on. And I was, you know, they were like, just kept freaking prodding me, which is what they're good at. And, you know, I got to like a really tender place in my heart. And I was like, the problem is that now that I know the impact I can have and the lives I can change, I can't unknow it. So I can't just wake up tomorrow and be like, I'm not going to be Stephanie Wigner. I'm not going to not help people. I see the transformation in people's lives, their businesses, their marriages, their relationships with their parents. Like, I can't not do that knowing what I'm capable of facilitating. And I didn't realize that I would have that responsibility on my life. And I'm recalibrating at this level because, you know, when people are like, oh, just burn it down. And that's why I get so frustrated when people are like, how much money is enough money? I'm like, I wish it was fucking about the money.
Yeah.
I wish it was. It's not. If it was about the money, I could quit today. I don't need more money.
Right.
It's about the impact that I know I can create in somebody's life. And once I know that, I'm just going to like close down my businesses and go sell flowers and open a boutique or whatever, you know, like I'm good at business. I could start any business and grow it to multiple seven figures, but I wouldn't be connected to my purpose and I wouldn't be as fulfilled. And I think once you find that, it's really hard to go back. And also once you see your potential and what you're capable of, and this is why I talk about expanding capacity. Once you see your capacity expanded in this season of life, you're like, well, I used to think this was impossible. And so now I know I could do more. And that's where I think it's really hard to not get caught up in it. Like you were saying, how you just like really scaled quickly. Something that I've really been challenging myself in this season, especially for the last 6 months, is to kind of almost have a throttle on it.
Yeah.
Because I don't want it to scale and spin up so quickly that the wheels fall off. I'm not interested in that. I'm interested in maintaining. But once you know you're capable of more, it's just inevitable. It's just the timeline until you shoot for more, I think.
1,000%. And I think it's a good reminder to check back in with that purpose, with that why. And if you are feeling like you want to quit, maybe you're not in alignment anymore.
Totally.
Right? Maybe you're not doing the thing you should be doing. And we had, you know, it's obviously very different, but similar in our clinics. I'm like, I wanted to burn it down. And I'm like, what's the fucking point? Mm-hmm. I would rather have zero than have three right now because there's the overwhelm, the mm-hmm. responsibility, you know, when patients have an experience that's maybe not positive or something happens in their life, well, I'm still responsible for that. Even though totally. I'm not in clinic, I'm not taking care of them with my hands, you know, and then to have 15 team members that I'm now responsible for. And then it's like, wait, maybe I just don't feel good about like what we're doing anymore. Maybe I need to add some things that light my soul up. Maybe, you know, it's like your purpose just becomes misaligned because you're so stuck in the doing that you mm-hmm. forgot who you were trying to be and what impact you were supposed to have. And I think that that's been a really big piece of clarity that I've gotten in the past 6 months that is like completely open. You know, it's like in a movie, the clouds just open and the sun yeah. shines through and it's like, oh, holy shit, I didn't actually hate my business. I just got so stuck in like the path that I was on
and
that I forgot to look up.
I say this too, like your identity has shifted so much, your business's identity hasn't shifted to catch up to who you're becoming. Mm. And so when I see especially practitioners inside of a brick and mortar that are burnt out or they're like, I hate it, I don't want to do it. It's like, could you just shift the business alongside of you? Because you've became a different person over the last 2 years, you know, and I know you're doing that right now, which is really cool. I feel like we have to wrap this up, but not that I want to, but I do want to go have champagne with you. So we're going to do that next. So what is something that you think that person that's looking at potentially doing things at the same time? One of the parts of your story that I love is that you don't wait. You didn't wait to grow your family, right? You didn't wait to open that second practice, and like, you weren't trying to play chess and orchestrate everything. You leaned into the feeling that you had inside of you. And so what would you share with somebody that was maybe waiting for the perfect time to do something?
There is never going to be a perfect time. You will always find a reason not to do something. I think that I have a very, my husband and I both, which is a dangerous thing. And I think you and Kyle are similar, but we have a very high risk tolerance. And so we're not afraid to move fast and break shit. And so I think that if you can, for the people who are stuck in that waiting, the overanalyzing, like, you will never move. You will never advance. You will never create the success that you want to create if you are just stuck on asking the questions and analyzing everything. So move a little faster. Don't be afraid to break shit, because like we've talked about with hiring, with like, you can always go backwards. Nothing is permanent. And I think that that is probably the biggest piece of advice that I would give people. You have permission to pivot. Mm-hmm. Nothing in your life ever has to be the end all be all except children. Mm-hmm. You can't really get give those back.
Be sure about
them.
Those.
Yeah, for sure. But I mean, everything else in my life, it's like, okay, that doesn't feel good anymore. Cool, I'll do something different, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, I don't want to be in the clinic. I built this giant clinic with all these people. Cool. I have 3 doctors that can take care of you now, and I'm allowed to go and do this other thing. So I think just, you know, while like the fear that you feel is a good indicator that you're about to do something worthwhile. So like, lean into the fear, but also trust your gut. And I don't know if this is like, you know, being a generator versus being a projector. So maybe you could give a little, you know, insight on this. But when I know something is right, when I know something is going to, or my signal is, I can't not do it. And so when you have that instinct, it will not get out of your head. You wake up every morning, you go to bed every night, and that is on your heart. It's in your mind. It's calling you. Like, lean into it, even if it feels scary.
I love it. I would say the same thing. Like, when that voice keeps waking you up in the middle of the night and it goes from a whisper to a loud yell, it's like, lean the heck in. You are on the verge of something. And just that self-trust piece. It's like, can you just trust yourself enough that if it doesn't work out exactly the way that you think it is, that you're going to figure out a pivot, that you're going to figure out a plan B if you have to, but you're never going to build that self-trust if you just don't lean in. And so I love that. I'm so excited we got to get together in person in LA and record. And I love you so much.
I love you too. Thanks, Steph.
If something in this episode resonated with you today, trust that it wasn't random. It wasn't an accident. Growth doesn't come from doing more. It comes from becoming more. If you know you're meant for a bigger life, a bigger impact, and success that actually truly feels aligned with you, then you're being called forward. This is your opportunity.